Brian Foley, who is a regular on this program, and I want to say hello to Mrs. Foley.
Oh, my mom's a big fan. She's going to love that. That's fantastic.
How are you? How are you, Chief?
I'm good. How are you guys doing this morning?
Good.
Good, Chief. And, of course, the Deputy Police Chief Brian Foley and our Touch Points Rehab Interview Chair. And, Chief, you had a big announcement over the weekend, and it seems as if there was a collaborative effort in order to find the shooter of 15-year-old Keon Huff Jr. What can you tell us?
Well, I've been in this business a long time and a former homicide detective, and when you take a killer off the streets, there is some satisfaction, some level of satisfaction in taking someone off the streets and putting them behind bars. I can tell you in this case, there is zero satisfaction. This has not been a pleasant case for any of our detectives, the department, or the community. And the fact that we lock somebody up for it, while it does start to begin the wheels of justice, it takes a second life of a young boy off our streets in the city of Hartford, and it represents a problem.
Chief, talk about the cooperation. Did you get cooperation from the community in this case?
The community, fantastic. You had Reverend Brown out there. I'll tell you what, you had Reverend Brown out there the night of the homicide, and I talked to him on scene. And thank God he's there, because he brings calm to the people outside the yellow tape, friends and family, and he started, stomping around at that point saying, bring justice, whoever did this, come forward. But you had Brother Carl on scene, who we work with, Carl Hardrick, and these guys were, basically yelling at everyone or pleading with everyone to get us information. Well, it came in, and it came in by phone, it came in by social media, and it came in by eyewitnesses and people coming in and sharing information, and we were very thankful. We worked closely with the state agencies, DCF and juvenile probation, and on the bureaucratic level, you're going to start seeing the finger pointing and who was at fault and who did what. But in the police department, unfortunately, we get to look behind the curtain. We work with the DCF workers who have boots on the ground. We work with the people in probation who have boots on the ground, who worked at this case. And I can tell you they're just as frustrated as anybody else. If you look at, an article came out in the Current yesterday,
yep,
detailing the boy's the tragic life. And you can see this homicide started 12 years ago. Just when there was, a terrible family situation. And DCF does a lot of things great. They're not parents, and they can't replace parents. And that's what, basically everyone's asking DCF to do in this case, and that's a difficult task for them. And I don't want to speak on their behalf, but I can tell you, when I look to blame anybody, they're at the bottom of the list there. I don't think that they're the ones that dropped at the ball in this case.
Now, as far as the name of the young person, you can't give that out because of the age. Is that correct?
Yeah. He's under 18. He's a male, and he's from the city of Hartford. But, let's not talk about this case. Let's talk about a case that would be similar to this type of thing. In these situations, when someone is arrested for homicide and they're under the age of 18 and it goes to juvenile court, more often than not, that case will be picked up over in the adult court in this case, it would be Ms. Hardy, over in the state's attorney's office, and have it transferred to adult court. If that does happen, you will probably get all the details reached or the details released today post-arraignment. So if the child is arraigned, or youth is arraigned this morning in adult court, most likely they'll release a lot of the details.
And again, it's just, I can feel it in your voice, Chief, this whole thing, youth on youth, and it goes back a long, long way, and this says something to parents, and it says something to those who really are not close to their children.
Yeah, it's a societal issue. It's not just one person, and I said it on Saturday morning, now's when the finger pointing starts, and us as a police department, we want everyone to point the finger and turn it around right at themselves, and think what you can do better to improve this situation. This centers around poverty in some of our more impoverished neighborhoods. This kid was in a situation he should not have been in two Saturday nights ago when unfortunately he was killed. He shouldn't have been there to begin with. There was just a lot of things. And if you look at the missing persons, the taken to custody, the contacts with police throughout his short lifetime. They are many, and at some point, you know, the system's built in certain ways, and I'm not naive to think we can save every kid, but I like to believe ahead of time that we can. This is the type of situation. This is the outlier where at some point somebody has to step up and be able to say, wait a minute, this kid's a danger to himself. You have Brother Carl Hardrick from Albany, from the YMCA in Albany Avenue. He's saying this kid should have been locked up. And those are powerful words from a person who knows that community better than I will ever know. And he's saying that. He was close with the child. And the city did everything they could in this case. The mayor even sat down with this kid within the year. I mean that's as close as you can get. And if you know you're looking for a police department to save a 15-year-old kid, yeah, we can do it. But it is really, really late in the game, and the odds of it happening aren't so hot.
Chief, the investigation itself, how does it rank as far as investigations from an intense standpoint, a complicated standpoint, compared to some of the others?
Well, you know, we have a meeting, a quick one on scene when a homicide happens. And this one, when you look at the age, and we all stood over the scene, and, you know, we all know what it is. We all know it's a 15-year-old, and, you know, I kind of pull the supervisors aside and let them know, you know, there's a spotlight. There's going to be a big spotlight on this. And not that we don't do every investigation as professional as possible, but when a 15-year-old kid is sitting there lying on the ground in front of you, you know, your detectives take it to heart. And I learned from those guys to this day. I've been there 22 years. They still teach me about homicide every single day. The investigation they did here, you'll see, is quite thorough, quite professional. But some of the things that came forward to us from the community certainly made the case for us. But there's still a lot of work for us to do. Homicide detectives don't work up to arrest. They work up through conviction. And they got to keep going. There's a lot of lab tests that still need to come in, a lot of things that need to be done. And more importantly, though, we as a police department want to know what we can do to help in the neighborhood and the whole city heal from this. Because this is just, you know, everyone talks about this, you know, not just people from in Hartford, inside that neighborhood, but the whole region. People talk about it. And that's why you guys are covering it today. It's a big issue for everybody. And how do we move forward and how do we fix? I mean, Google any city USA. Google any city USA and teen dies or teen killed in homicide. And you'll see a lot of the same narratives over the last 10 years of people saying the same darn things. And, you know, that's what I know Mayor Brown is trying to avoid, and I know he's trying to lead us in a different direction on that. And certainly Chief Ravella has the same point of view as, you know, this has been happening, and how do we stop it without doing the same old things that really don't seem to be overly effective.
Well, again, Hartford Deputy Police Chief Brian Foley, and Chief, both Dan and myself, we really, really thank you, because every time we need you, and it's quite often that we do, you're always there to respond, and it's great for our radio audience.
Thanks for having us, guys.
Thanks, Brian. Take
care. All right,
see you.